Trinidad. And Trinidad is off the eastern coast of Venezuela. Aren't you impressed that I knew that? Yeah. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And once you find your place there, let's stand together and we'll read just two verses for our message this evening. I hope that you take prayer seriously. How many of you really believe that prayer works? Raise your hand up high. Raise it up high. Thank you. How many of you prayed today? All right. It'd be a shame to believe that it works and not pray, wouldn't it? Huh? Let me tell you how much it works. I went deer hunting Monday. Monday morning, all I saw was a little old 4-point. One had a little spike and a split on the end here sticking up about 10 inches, and the other one had a little old spike and a split on the end of it sticking up about 3 inches, awfulest looking thing. That's all I saw all Monday morning. Monday afternoon, got in the stand early about 1 o'clock and didn't see anything except the anchor ropes on my stand getting tight and then getting loose, the wind blowing it. So and about 5:30, right after I'd gotten up off my knees. See, I made my stand big enough to pray in and lay down in. And pull my recliner back in. And so help me, I just got back up and looked up. And over here out of the creek bed came this big old 10-point buck. Prayer works. Prayer works. And I believe in it. But hey, Bible said, you say you prayed for that? Bible said pray about everything. Amen. Everything. And I do. And Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now go back to look at verse number 4, if you will. And verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, the one that overcometh the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse number 4 says, those that overcome the world, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to speak tonight on the subject, living on the victory side. You know, the Bible says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. As a Christian tonight, you're either an overcomer of the world, or the world's overcoming you. Either you're on top or the world's on top. Where are you living in relationship to the world? Are you living victoriously? Are you a victim instead of a victor? Are you overcome instead of being an overcomer? Living on the victory side. Father, help me tonight for the next few moments to challenge our people. God, these are difficult days, and Lord, many people are struggling with health issues, others with job issues, finances are tight, and businesses are slowing down, and jobs are getting scarce, and people are just struggling. And then along with all of the financial problems and health problems comes along sin and temptation and heartache and sorrow and hurt and disappointment. And Lord, the old devil's just working overtime to try to get God's people down, to give up, to give out, and to give in. But we don't have to be overcome. You tell us we can be overcomers. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to rely on you, depend on you, gain our strength from you. Help us to get over the place where we depend on talents and abilities and strength and who we know and getting an edge. And Lord, help us to learn to walk by faith and trust you, believe you, and obey you. And Lord, believing has directly connected to it, obeying. For believing the Word of God has none effect if we don't obey it. Believing that Jesus died for our sins on the cross has none effect unless we call upon you and exercise that faith when we got saved. Now, Lord Jesus, you're a God wanting to do for us far more than we're willing to ask. You're wanting to bless us far beyond anything we've ever thought. Help us to learn to live on the victory side of the Christian life. You didn't die so we could be just so we could tolerate the world and just so we could cope. You died and said that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, Lord, I love you tonight, and help me as I bring this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, continue to pray for Brother and Mrs. Taff. I notice they're not here tonight, and they've been sick also. Please continue to pray for them. When I was in junior high school and even a freshman in high school, I was so small that the bullies in the school took great delight in taking out their frustrations on me. Now, I was the run of my family and the run of my class at that time. I hadn't hit my growth spurt. I was as little at that point time or short at that time in my life as some of our boys here that hasn't reached their growth spurt yet. And bullies took advantage of me. Some of the older kids was always poking and kicking and making fun. And plus, when we had games at recess, remember that? We chose upside, nobody'd choose me. Nobody'd choose me. My spirit is like it is now. I've been twisted and so forth. I had to live with that all my life. But I've always had a winning spirit. And I still do. I hate to lose. Now, to this very day, I want to be a winner. And I want to live on the victory side. I hate to lose. I want to be on the winning team. I love the thrill of victory, and I hate the agony of defeat. It didn't take me long to learn that victory doesn't just happen. And thank God I learned that victory was not just dependent upon how big I was, or how smart I was, or how talented I was. If you plan to win the victory, it takes time in planning. It takes a lot of effort. It takes hard work. And it requires overcoming of difficulties, because they will arise. Doesn't matter what you plan, there's going to be difficulties that will arise that you've got to deal with. Now, victories are won, I've discovered, in the planning stage, not just in the doing stage. If you think you're just going to go out there and be victorious by living life, you're foolish. You've got to make some plans. Set some goals. Write out a plan to gain that victory by a certain time. And if you don't, you're never going to know what it is to have victory. Victories are won in the planning sessions before they're ever realized in reality. I got an email today from Brother Muse, and I'm so proud, Brother Muse, of you and for you. God bless your heart. The email stated that the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, for whom he works, declared that Brother Muse and his team had won the Account Excellence Award for 2009. They went on to say that the key reasons they won were that it was a total team effort and that they had significantly increased their customers' satisfaction. And special mention of planner support and analysis was given. The victory they enjoyed just did not happen. I know Brother Muse had asked prayer on several occasions for projects they were a project they were working on. And sometimes all he said after prayer meeting on Saturday morning, I've got to go in and work today because of this project that we're working on. And it took a lot of effort and a lot of planning and a lot of teamwork and a lot of commitment for them to be able to receive this award. And the email went on to say that this was not just a trivial award. This was the big company award for the year. And I was so impressed. I was working on this sermon when I got the email, and I said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm going to include that in my introduction." Because victories don't just happen, and I sure do like to live on the victory side of things. Whether it be in my business, or my home, or my walk with God, a Sunday school class, a bus route, I don't want to be just another person of the pack. I'd like to enjoy some victories along the way. And you know, over the years here at Trinity Baptist Church, we've enjoyed many, many victories also. Just thinking about what God's done for us. Just thinking about the people He's given us. The missionaries that we have the privilege of sending out from our congregation. I think about the buildings that have been built here and the monies that have been raised. And I rejoice in that. And when it seemed as though that there was no opportunity to get additional property for parking and expansion, God opened the door for us to buy the 3 acres across the street from the Mormon church. And you can't explain that, except God did it. I tell preachers about that, and they said, "You bought it from the Mormon church." I never heard of the Mormons selling Baptist anything. Well, faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And faith ought to lead us to get on our knees and get a hold of God and ask God for some things, believing that He'll do it. See, a lot of times when we pray, we don't pray believing. We pray out of duty, but not out of faith. Sometimes we cry out of need, but we don't believe God can do it. And God put a story in there about a man who asked Jesus for something, and he said, "I believe." He said, "All things are possible if only you believe." He said, "I believe, but I don't know if I believe enough. Help my unbelief." Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. These victories that we've enjoyed around here have required a lot of hard work, a lot of faith and prayer and commitment on God's people's part. We've had to come to the place where we separate ourselves from those that don't believe the book and stay with the book. I'm amazed at some Christians today. Some Christians will forsake the Bible to stay with a man. I remember when Dr. Hiles taught on the principle of the truth of putting principle before institutions. are personalities. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will not pass away. People change and institutions change, but God's word never changes. So we need to stick with the book. And I thank God for people here who have put their trust in God's word and have made it possible to enjoy the victories in this great work. And, you know, these things have been undertaken for the Lord's glory and not man's. We've enjoyed great victories as far as numbers of people being saved, numbers being baptized, attendance. Man, our attendance record is upward over 2,500, 2,500 and something. And we're grateful for all of that. Just great things God has done. But I believe the greatest victories this church will ever enjoy are in the future if Jesus tarries His coming. And the greatest victory is when He comes, but if He tarries His coming, I believe with all my heart the greatest victories this church will ever know, will have ever known, are yet to be seen in the future. Now I want you to consider tonight for my message just three main thoughts concerning victory in the work of our Lord. Number one, victory in the Lord's work always comes by faith in God and His unchanging word. It always comes by faith in God and His unchanging word. That is the preeminent thought that must stay in our mind. God never changes. His word never changes. His will and purpose for the church to be established and be in the world today does not change. 2009, God still wills that this church send the gospel around the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is the will of God that this church establish new churches, produce preacher boys and missionaries and men and women who will serve God in the church and build homes that will honor God, raise children for His glory and for His honor. That's still the will of God. But it all goes back to the beginning. Victory in the Lord's work always comes by faith in God and His unchanging word. You take God and the Bible out of the equation of your life and you have just another messed up life. You have just another broken home. You have a house full of wayward children. You take God and the equation out of your life, what difference between you and a communist, atheist, a pagan? It is Jesus that makes a difference, and faith in God and His Word is necessary for us to enjoy victory. Now, our faith reveals our confidence in the omnipotent God, in our omnipotent God. If you don't live by faith, you're saying, I can't trust God. He's not able. He doesn't have the power. Some of you don't tithe because you don't believe God can take care of you if you tithe. You don't believe God's word when He said He'd send blessings. Faith reveals our confidence in our omnipotent God. And let me tell you plainly, He can do above and beyond anything you can think or imagine or ask. You don't have a problem too big for Him. You don't have a need too big for Him. Oh, we've got to come back to that place where we realize we're never going to enjoy victory if we don't believe He's able. He's able. And you say, able to do what? Just a blank there with a period, you fill in the blank. He's able. Faith believes that our God can do anything. God wants to bless us far more than we're willing to trust Him. He wants to bless us beyond what we've ever asked Him. I say again, one of our great disappointments is going to be when we get to heaven and see what God wanted to do with us and for us if we'd only trusted Him and yielded to Him and believed Him. Next of all, our faith in God and His Word connects the believer with all the resources of heaven. Our faith in God and His Word connects the believer with all of the resources of heaven. Now, I don't know everything in heaven, but I do know when Paul was given a glimpse of it. He said, "Paul, what you see up there is not lawful for you to speak about on earth. It's so wonderful. It's so beyond anything we can imagine." He says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." I can't imagine the glory and the wonder and the beauty of heaven. Why, just the description of the New Jerusalem blows my mind. I can't imagine an oyster so big it'd produce a pearl to make one whole gate out of it. Now the truth is, God didn't say He made an oyster to produce the pearl. God made the pearl. Our faith in God and His Word connects the believer with all the resources in heaven. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in heaven by Christ Jesus." Wow. What a blessing. What a promise. Thirdly, our faith in God and obedience to His Word is the keynote or common thread in every victory we'll ever enjoy as a Christian. You go back to every victory we enjoy, it's always going back to connect with our faith and obedience to God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Go back in the Old Testament and Joshua leading the people into that new land, and they come to Jericho, and a wall around that city so thick and so big that they stood in awe. But God said, "I've got a plan. You just believe me." And you know what old Joshua believed God? I can see all these tribes tell Joshua, "What's the plan?" He told them about marching around that city. And then marching around it seven times and shouting and blowing the trumpets. And they said, "Huh?" You know, had it been you or I today, the wall would have still been standing. Because most of us don't believe God enough to obey His Word, believing that God is able to do what He said. Oh, Joshua just believed God. And let me tell you, every victory you enjoy in your Christian life is going to be traced back to your faith in God and obedience to His Word. David won the victory over Goliath. A slingshot? Brother Jimmy Williams always got a joke for me when he comes to church. He said if Goliath was alive today and had an automobile, he'd have a bumper sticker that said, "Ban the slingshots." I'll explain it when we get home. David won the victory. Nobody else thought he could. But David believed God could. He trusted God could, that he could. Someone said he wasn't trusting God. He picked up five stones instead of one. What kind of faith is that? A lot bigger than you think. David could count. He said, "Goliath and brother number 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, "They stick their head up, I'll get them too." He believed God. He believed God. Some of you don't have enough faith to even believe God can save you and keep you saved. You struggle all the time. Believe Him. common source or the common thread in every victory, whether it be victory over the joy and assurance of our salvation, or victories in our daily walk, in our daily life, in our daily needs, or the world's temptations and attack, the common thread is we believe God. Now that leads me to the next thing in connection with that. You need to go back and get some scriptures that are God's promises in the area of your need. And believe God. Believe God. You see, imagining. I'm amazed at the source of information we have stored up here that we think is Scripture, but it's not. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible. It's a good principle. It's not Bible. Down home. You know what the Bible said down there in Myrtle Springs. Everybody say, you know what the Bible says? Every tub will set on its own bottom. If we're going to enjoy victory, we better learn what the Bible says, because the Word of God and the promise of God is the key and the common thread to enjoying victory. Let me move on. Churches are dying because they either really don't believe God or they're not willing to obey God. Either they don't believe Him or they're not willing to obey Him. Well, I don't think... Hey, why don't you quit letting your thinker think when it comes to your relationship with God and start trusting? Eve kind of got in trouble because she let her thinker think instead of her truster trust. Faith wins the victory in God's program because it puts us in the front lines of the battle with the Lord. If we don't believe God, we're going to sit back here and huddle in the distance. But faith puts us in the front line. Oh man, I'd like to be like Elijah on Mount Carmel and see fire come down after I pray. Yeah, but you're not willing to get up there and challenge the prophets of Baal. I'd like to be like David and see that giant come tumbling down. Yeah, but you're not willing to trust God and meet Him with a slingshot and a stone. Oh, I'd like to be like Joshua or Gideon. I'll tell you where you'd have been. You'd have been home, because you'd been one of the fearful, one of the faithless. Faith wins the victory in God's program because it puts us in the front lines of the battle with the Lord. Faith offers no way to retreat and be on the Lord's side. I mean, if you're going to live by faith and walk by faith, it requires taking what seems to be a risk to the human mind. Bid me come to you on the water and I'll walk on the water. Risk stepping out of the boat on the water. I've been in places in my life that all I could do is say, live, die, sink, or swim. God, I'm trusting you. There's no way out. No way except you intervene. And I'm just going to keep on going. Keep on serving. And let you give the victory. And then faith eliminates the odds and puts us on the Lord's side and gives us the victory. Faith eliminates the odds. Look at Gideon and his 300 facing thousands. Look at Israel at Jericho, the walled city, a defense city. And shouts and a trumpet brought the wall down. No, the shouts and the trumpet didn't bring the wall down. I've heard archaeologists say, well, there was a fault there, and there was a crack in the foundation, and when the shout and the trumpet, it caused everything to work together and it crumbled. That's a bunch of baloney. It was a well-built wall. And God brought it down because there's some people who believed Him and obeyed Him. And there's not a wall in your life that God can't bring down if you'd come to that place where you'd quit making excuses and just trust Him and believe Him. Believe Him. But Caleb, 85 years old, Caleb, you get your choice of all of the land known as the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey. What do you want, Caleb? That mountain where the giants live. They sent all Israel running one time, and I want to prove them that God's bigger than the giants and bigger than the mountain. And when Caleb got through with it, its name became Hebron, a city of refuge, a city of help to the helpless and the hopeless. Faith eliminates the odds and puts us on the Lord's side. And then faith sees the opportunities and not the hindrances. Faith sees the opportunities and not the hindrances. Well, that's my first point. I got two more and I don't have any more time. I'm going to give them to you quick. Victories are won by those who trust God and just keep on going and serving. Victories are won by those who trust God and just keep on going and serving. Turn over to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 23. You know where I'm going. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Begin to read with me in verse number 8. And these be the names of the mighty men which David had, the Tekmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Hey, how'd he win that victory? He just trusted God and just kept on going and kept on serving. Look at the next. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hoahite, one of three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to the battle, and the men of Israel had gone away. And Eleazar rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. I'll just stop right there because I'd rather end it with the Lord instead of the people coming back after the Lord's victory's been won. But one, it was won by a man who said God's bigger than the odds. He just took the sword and just kept on going and kept on serving. And God wrought a great victory. Look on. And after him was Shammah the son of Agee the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, that's black-eyed peas and purple-hulled peas and pinto beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Everybody else ran, but this man said, this is my pea patch. God's entrusted to me, and he stood there and fought, just kept on serving, kept on going, and the Lord wrought a great victory. There are many doubters who do nothing to help the victory. They just doubt and point out that it'll never work while they run. There are many complainers who will not work, but they have plenty of complaints and gripes, though they do nothing to help win the victory. There are many critics that do nothing to help win the victory. They just criticize and point out why we ought not do it that way, instead of trusting God and trying to do His will. When it comes to winning the victory, the doubters, the critics, and the complainers are always non-participants in the victory. But those who believe God and just keep on going and keep on serving enjoy the victory. Thirdly, victory is always through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He should always get the glory. It's always through Him, through His power, by His Word, and He should always get the glory. Baptists are good backpatters. But how good are we giving Him the victory for those wonderful victories that happen in our life? Let me close. Well, I just read you where Eliezer's hand clave to the sword and he defeated the Philistines, and the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Eliezer didn't have power in himself to do that. David didn't have power in himself to do that. Joshua didn't have power in himself to do that. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. At best, we're just instruments of His. And He deserves the victory and the glory. Let me finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us here tonight that can say I'm saved ought to be bragging on Jesus, because every victory, every good thing that's happened to us is because of Him. And unto Him be glory and honor and dominion, world without ends. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. Father, that's our message tonight. Thank You that we can live on the victory side. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be overcome. We can be overcomers because of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord God, we ask Your blessings upon our people, especially those that are here this evening, those that heard the message, those that have great need of Your help and intervention in their life. Oh my God, would You come down in mighty power and help us to get a hold of the power of God and the power of faith in God and trusting God. Help us to learn to ask and claim the victories that can be ours. Now, Lord, I want to ask You tonight, before we begin this invitation verse, I want to ask You tonight to guide our church and help our church as we go through the process of calling a co-pastor that will become the pastor of this church one day in the near future. And I pray, Heavenly Father, we might all be part of the victory. We might all be people of trust and faith. God, help us not to be the complainer or the doubter or the critic. Help us to trust You and believe You and make a spiritual thing out of this and pray, Lord, not my will, Thine be done in this matter. And we'll give You thanks for the victory that You shall bring in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet as we begin to listen to the instruments play a verse of invitation. Join us at the altar, if you will, and pray with us tonight. I ask you to pray with me specifically about God's will for the man that